sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition. Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I think we have an interesting show coming up for you today. We're going to have Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror on the show, Mike Poorman from StateCollege.com. In a few moments, we're going to be joined by Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report. And Friday, we had a chance to hear from offensive coordinator John Donovan, defensive coordinator Bob Shoup, and special teams coordinator Charles Huff, as well as head coach James Franklin. Well, National Letter of Intent Day is a week from tomorrow. Well, we're going to give you a chance in the next half hour to hear from the other assistant coaches. That way you can get just, you know, a handle on them, a feel for their personal philosophy, some initial impressions they have of the Penn State players. We're going to hear from strength and conditioning coach Dwight Gault, wide receivers coach Josh Gattis, offensive line coach Herb Hand, linebacking coach Brent Pry, quarterback coach Ricky Ronnie, also corners coach Terry Smith, and defensive line coach Sean Spence. We're going to hear from all of them in the next half hour. In a few moments, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Today's show, being the Tuesday show, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They've been serving the Valley for more than 50 years. Simple philosophy. If service and price mean something to you, it means everything to them. Auto, home, business, life insurance. They handle it all at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We are sitting here safely ensconced in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, we're going to give you a feel for Super Bowl Media Day today. Chance to sit down and talk with Michael Robinson, fullback, pro bowler, former Nittany Lion quarterback with the Seattle Seahawks, and Jordan Hill, who is the backup defensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks, playing each in their first Super Bowls. We're going to hear from them on tomorrow's show to get you ready for the big game coming up this weekend. We'll also sprinkle in a few other things from Super Bowl Media Day that we picked up along the way as well. It's on tomorrow's show, which, by the way, tomorrow's show will emanate from Columbus, Ohio, because we're going to be, obviously, at the Penn State-Ohio State game. So a feel of Super Bowl Media Day tomorrow, and also basketball with the Nittany Lions playing at Ohio State. Penn State looking for their second consecutive win. Time now to bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome, and let's get right to it. Mike Munchak, his name had been mentioned here as a head coaching possibility at Penn State. He interviewed for the job. After that, he interviewed for the Detroit Lions head coaching job. He interviewed with Bill O'Brien with the Houston Texans, and finally ended up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What kind of pickup is that for the Steelers?
I'm not sure you can do much better. You know, they've got a Hall of Fame offensive lineman coaching their offensive line, and they've got some pieces actually in place this year. At a halfway point in the season, I would never have said that, but, you know, we know what they have in their center. We just don't know if Marquise Pouncey is going to be healthy or not. They've got two good guards around him with Ramon Foster, who's a solid NFL lineman, and certainly David DeCastro is a player on the way up. He had an injury-plagued rookie season, so we weren't sure how good he was going to be, but probably their best offensive lineman this past year. Major, major questions at the tackle spot, and I think that's probably going to be where Mike Munchak is going to be doing most of his teaching and trying to earn his paycheck, working with guys like Mike Adams and Marcus Gilbert, especially high-round draft picks who have really so far been, you know, bad and even worse. It would probably be an apt way to describe their performance. So it's a tall order for Munchak, but I'm not sure you can bring in a better guy.
Yeah, and but in the timing of this, you know, he had just, of course, been a head coach, had interviewed for some head coaching jobs. Then he started interviewing for offensive line jobs. This is a big get for the Steelers in terms of, you know, changing the tone of the staff.
Without question, you know, without question. And it's kind of a step back into, you know, something that they have been familiar with. I mean, it's been a while since Russ Grimm was in Pittsburgh, but you know, those two guys are somewhat similar. I mean, they're both Hall of Fame NFL players. both from Pennsylvania, both very familiar in Western Pennsylvania, and both have been highly successful coaching offensive line. So, you know, they went through kind of a rough period after Grimm left. Sean Coogler did an okay job. They brought in Jack Bicknell to kind of change things last year, Jack Bicknell Jr. That certainly didn't work out very well. In fact, from the halfway point on, he really didn't do much coaching. I think people close to the team saw the writing on the wall there. Those of us who didn't see them every day were unaware of what was going on behind the scenes. But, Munchak will probably do a decent job coaching the zone scheme, or I should say will do a decent amount of coaching the zone blocking scheme. That's what he used with Tennessee, and that's what the Steelers tried and failed to do last year. So should be interesting to watch. Four head coaches, four ex-head coaches now on the Steelers staff when you look at Todd Haley and Dick LeBeau, three ex-coaches, and, of course, Mike Tomlin being the head coach.
Yeah, amazing at this point. Has there been any indication positionally where the Steelers might want to go when free agency rolls around?
It's a great question, and I think they're going to have to, they're going to have to focus on or decide what their focus is going to be on the draft. It wouldn't surprise me if they looked for some more offensive line help, perhaps trying to bring in a veteran tackle. Now they're not going to bring in a guy to come in and solidify one of those positions. But I think what they could bring in is someone maybe that could be a fallback type of an option, a veteran type of an offensive line guy. They found pieces like that that have fit in the past, and it may be something that they're looking for again. And I think the defensive line is where they need help as well. They could go both ways on the defensive line. They could go for a nose tackle or find an end, and that may help them decide what they're going to do in the draft. Things are a little bit different this year with April being free agency.
What kind of room do the Steelers have to do anything? Do they have flexibility with the cap?
Not a lot, no, and I think that's the biggest thing. Next year they'll have a lot. 2015 season, they'll have a lot, but we're not there yet. They just signed so many guys, so many veterans, Steve, to long-term contracts that were heavy at the end to try to make that one last run, and now they're kind of caught paying for that. A lot of that will disappear off the payroll this year, after this year rolls around, but right now they're still paying guys like Ike Taylor and Lamar Woodley and Troy Polamalu big, big numbers. Now, they'll probably eliminate some of that, maybe try to renegotiate with Ike Taylor, maybe part ways with some of those guys, but they're still stuck with some pretty good payouts to those guys. And let's not forget what they're paying their quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, a pretty good chunk of change
right.
As well.
Well, I mean, that's what's allowed Seattle to have the flexibility they have. I mean, Percy Harvin is going to play in the Super Bowl. Bobby Averill's been a big contributor for them. They can't sign them unless Russell Wilson's a third round pick making really minimal cash on an NFL scale.
Yeah, that's a great point, and the flip side of that is what the Ravens went through this year. So yeah, I mean the cap is brutal, and you have to have a quarterback. So Seattle, that's going to catch up with Seattle at some point, just like it's going to be catching up with the Carolina Panthers and the San Francisco 49ers and their young quarterbacks who are manageable now, but won't be soon.
Is the toughest decision on Polamalu because of the emotion?
I think he played. Yeah, I think it probably is. I think his level of play this past year, while it's not, the Hall of Fame level that we saw in the prime of his career, he got through a season healthy, and we saw what he can do when he is healthy. But you're right, that's a much tougher decision because of the emotion. He's been everything you want one of your players to be. I mean, there's been absolutely nothing negative whatsoever with Troy Polamalu. It's been all positive. And again, if you could have a guy like that represent your team forever, that's exactly what you're looking for. So there's a ton of emotion there. You're absolutely right about that. Some other decisions that are going to be a little bit easier is a guy like a Lamar Woodley, even though the cap hit's going to be tough. The performance just hasn't been there. Ike Taylor. Unless Ike Taylor takes a reduced salary, he can't come back. They can't pay him the amount of money he's due to play at the level he's playing. So it is going to be a tough decision with Troy. My gut feeling is that they bite the bullet and he's back again.
I know it was tough to see Woodson in another jersey, especially when he went to the Ravens. How tough would it be for Pittsburgh fans to see Polamalu in a different jersey?
Very, very similar. I mean, those are very, very similar guys as far as what they've done, what they've meant to the city, and how they've represented the franchise. I think, heck, Rod Woodson played for a couple of different teams. You know, he finally then decided to go ahead and move to safety, and, you know, wouldn't you know it, he's winning a Super Bowl. It was tough seeing that happen with Woodson win a Super Bowl with those guys, and it would be just as tough to see it with Polamalu. Didn't have to happen with Hines Ward. You know, I think it would have been a very similar situation if Hines Ward had signed elsewhere, but he decided to hang it up. I think Troy's playing at a higher level than Hines was at this point in his career, though. So this idea that Troy would hang it up doesn't seem right.
Does A.J. Burnett know what he's doing yet?
He might. He is not really sharing it with anybody. You know, Ray Searig said that in January they had a voluntary workout week, and he said he really doesn't think he's coming back. A lot of people thought that might be just a nudge to A.J., like saying, you know, hey, A.J., make up your mind here. We need to know. You know, he says he hasn't made up his mind yet. I think he hasn't made up his mind whether he wants to play for the amount of money the Pirates can pay him. I think that I just don't see them paying him $10 million or more. I don't know if he wants to play for $7 or $8 million. So really it's going to be tough for fans to let a couple of million dollars make the difference, but I think that's really where they are.
Yeah. Is there anything that you hear that the Pirates could do between now and the start of camp? The Phillies just signed Bobby Abreu to a minor league contract, which is not exactly exciting the populace, but is there anything...
Chad Godin, too.
Is there anything along the line that the Pirates might be thinking about that would unexcite the populace just as much as the Philly populace has been unexcited?
You know, the only big move, I think people are still waiting to see if they, you know, if they do try to make an offer to the Mets for Ike Davis. That would be about the only thing that I think could add some excitement. Anything else, I think you're going to be looking at those minor league deals like you're talking about. They've made a number of those already. I think you'll probably see a couple more of those, pitching, right field, first base, maybe even some utility infielders along those lines. But I don't think there's going to be much to get excited about between now and camp unless it's A.J. Burnett.
Okay, so let's go with the water from Lourdes option. Okay. Tony, thanks so much. Great to hear from you again.
Thanks, Steve.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. So a mixed bag for you there, Kevin. Just a mixed bag. Good news on Mike Munchak. The Troy Polamalu part scares you. You don't want to see Troy in a jersey that's other than the Pittsburgh Steelers. You think it's un-American. It makes you feel unclean. And also the fact that the Troy Polamalu jersey that you bought, you may have to burn. I don't know. That's up to you. That's why, you know, I have a nice standard policy. I don't buy that stuff. I just, you know, if I don't have that stuff, just don't. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Service and price means something to you. It means everything to them. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They take care of it all. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. That's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow we'll give you some moments from Super Bowl Media Day, including sit-downs with Michael Robinson, the former Nittany Lion quarterback, and former Penn State defensive tackle Jordan Hill. They both play for the Seattle Seahawks now. And the Seahawks are the first Super Bowl team since the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25 to not have a single player on the roster with Super Bowl experience. How about that? Quick fact for you. Next half hour, you're going to hear from the new assistant coaches. Dwight Gault, the strength and conditioning coach. Josh Gattis, the wide receiver coach. Herb Hand, offensive line. Brent Pry, linebackers. Ricky Ronnie, quarterbacks. Terry Smith, corners. And defensive line coach Sean Spencer. We're doing all of this from the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So the assistant coaches coming up next half hour, we'll hear from them. Then we'll talk with Mike Poorman of StateCollege.com and Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror to round out today's show. Tomorrow, shows from Columbus as Penn State gets ready for Ohio State, but we'll also give you a good feel for Super Bowl Media Day. Coming up, bottom of the hour, news as we roll forward here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000. $1,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Tuesday edition, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance has served the Valley for more than 50 years. Service and price mean everything to them. They know it means everything to you. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Safely ensconced here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Coldest month of January I think we've ever had. That's why the Sunbury Motors Studio has been so good to me. I love it. Nice and warm and cozy in here. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Car sales are ratcheting up, and you want to deal with somebody that has repeat customers. You're going to find out why dealing with Sunbury Motors will make you a repeat customer as well. Great staff. Take great care of you. Understand your needs, your budget. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Mike Poorman from statecollege.com, and then in the final half hour, Corey Geiger of the Altoona Mirror. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at Super Bowl 48. On hand for Super Bowl Media Day this morning, I was there, and a chance to sit down with Michael Robinson and a chance to sit down with Jordan Hill, the two former Nittany Lions playing for the Seattle Seahawks, plus a few other notes as well from Super Bowl Media Day, and we'll do tomorrow's show from Columbus as the Nittany Lion basketball team gets ready to take on Ohio State. The Nittany Lions looking for their second consecutive win. On Friday, we had a chance to hear from head coach James Franklin, offensive coordinator John Donovan, defensive coordinator Bob Shoup, and also special teams coordinator Charles Huff. Now let's give you a feel for the rest of the staff. There's no doubt that Craig Fitzgerald stepped in and did a great job for Penn State. Now, he changed the strength and conditioning program here. Now, remember, everybody has their own philosophy. And John Thomas had his philosophy here. And Penn State won a lot of football games with John Thomas in charge of strength and conditioning. Craig Fitzgerald, a different philosophy as to how you go about strength and conditioning. And once again, Penn State won a lot of football games. Well, it turns out that Craig Fitzgerald's mentor as to how he goes about his business is Dwight Gault. Dwight Gault worked for years at Maryland, years, and developed some great players and guys that went to combines and lit it up at combines. What's interesting the other day is James Franklin, when he was talking about the staff, said that winter workouts would be
the most miserable experience of their life. So Dwight Gall talked about, is it really that miserable?
They're not going to be miserable at all. They're going to be a lot of fun, actually. Winter workouts, we start at 5:30. We're going to do them on Tuesday and Thursday morning. And it's the same type of mantra. We're really working on movement, really working on getting them to maximize their speed and agility and their balance. But one thing that we feel very strongly in a lot of areas in our program, on the field and in strength this, is toughness. And we believe very, very strongly in toughness development. We believe very, very strongly in leadership development. And we want the players to lead the program and not the coaches. And somebody's got to do it. And we found that whenever we're successful, it's because the players control the program and lead it. And whether or not, the coach has to step in and do it. Same thing with toughness. So the winter workouts, it's a conglomeration of many years and many really great ideas. I think we got a real nice system for it. And it's very, very aggressive. But when you're done that, you feel like you've accomplished something. So when they're done that winter workout period, I think it's going to really set a real good tempo, a real good mantra for spring ball.
That's Dwight Gault, the strength and conditioning coach. His son, Dwight Gault IV, is going into his third year on the staff. Young Dwight was going to go with Craig Fitzgerald to the Houston Texans, but when his father got the strength and conditioning job here, he came back and rejoined his dad on the staff. But also staying on the staff, by the way, will be a guy that I think has done a really, really nice job for them, and that is Brian Bell. He is going to stay on the staff as well, and that will be a big plus for Penn State because those will be two guys already that the staff, that the kids already know. I think that makes a big, big difference for them moving forward. So, so having both young Dwight and also keeping Brian Bell on the staff, very important for the Nittany Lions moving forward. All right, next up on our list, Josh Gattis, the wide receiver coach. He's also going to be the offensive recruiting coordinator. Penn State at wide receiver, they lose Allen Robinson, who's opted to go to the NFL draft. Brandon Felder's graduated. Alex Kenny has decided to transfer to UMass. Josh Gattis, though, has great experience working with wide receivers, and a perfect example is a guy that you've seen in some of the college all-star games. That is Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews set all sorts of records at Vanderbilt as a wide receiver, and his coach there was Josh Gattis.
First and foremost, it's all about the relationships. I had an unbelievable relationship with the group of guys I had at Vanderbilt University. The thing that we are most proud about is our work ethic. Obviously the success of some of the guys I've had in the past, it's all started with relationships and work ethic. As long as we know that we care about each other and they're willing to go out there and do anything that I ask and they're willing to work at the highest level, we will produce great receivers and have success. So I'm really excited. My past has been accepting challenges and developing receivers. When I first got the job at Vanderbilt, Jordan Matthews had only caught 700 yards receiving. Throughout his career, he caught over 3,000 while he was with me. So I accept that challenge. I look forward to working with the group of guys that we have here. I know they're excited. As we stated, it always helps when you've got the best quarterback in the country. This is an offensive system that is designed around being balanced. We will have great running backs. We will have great tight ends, great quarterbacks, and have great receivers.
That is Josh Gattis, offensive recruiting coordinator and also the wide receiver coach. Now, what about the guys up front? Well, that's going to be a key. There's no doubt Mac McWhorter really did a great job for Penn State. And when you look at the offensive line, Donovan Smith will be back. Miles Diefenbach will be back up front with those guys. Angelo Mangiero, Wendy Laurent. So they'll have at least a base to work from. Herb Hand interviewed for the head coaching job at Vanderbilt. And then when it didn't go his way, they went with Derek Mason, the defensive coordinator of Stanford. He was the last piece of the puzzle added, and that's why there was a little delay in getting the staff announced, because they're waiting for Herb Hand. And when it turned out he didn't get the job, he took the job here at Penn State. Not only is he an offensive line coach, he's going to be the run game coordinator as well, but he's a guy that's done a lot of work in Nashville with abused children. And, of course, he is very well aware of everything that has happened around here at Penn State. He talked about it, put it in perspective, and where he can make a difference.
There was a lot of questions, a lot of misinformation, some information. You know, it was like you weren't getting the whole story. And certainly it was something that anybody that's ever put a whistle around their neck, was impacted by the story. the opportunity to come here to Penn State from a professional, purely professional avenue was a no-brainer. You know, this is one of the finest institutions in the country. It's one of the top traditional football programs since the first time they laced up a football, okay? And then from a personal standpoint, the opportunity to come into the community and make an impact was that part of my decision-making process when James offered me the job here? And I just sat back and said, you know, I'm prepared for this job, not just from a professional standpoint, but from a personal level. Also, I want to impact this community. I want to help this community in any way I can. What does that look like? I don't know, you know, and I'm not, you know, here to, but I just, I'm not, you know, here to be a savior or anything, but I want to be able to help.
That is Herb Hand, who will work with the offensive line, be the run game coordinator. He has a tremendous reputation as an offensive line coach. Brent Pry. Brent Pry is, you know, grew up in Altoona. He's an Altoona native. Eventually, his family moved to Lexington, Virginia. But Brent Pry is going to be assistant head coach. He's going to be co-defensive coordinator. And he's also the linebacking coach. So he talked about some of the keys to getting up to speed when you have to learn new personnel.
See, I say this. I know that Coach, the first word out of his mouth, if you ask him that question, is going to be relationships. And, you know, we've begun that already. You know, it, really before we got here. Those of us that have ties back to this state, that's going to be very important. But more so, just our principles in general, that everything's built on relationships, whether it's with the guys on our football team, as a staff, but going back to these high school coaches, the guys that put the time in this state to develop these young players, those are the relationships that will make the difference. And, you know, we are going to work and work and work. You know, one of the core values of this program is work ethic, and that starts with the man at the top, and it's hard to outwork that guy. He's a tremendous worker, has instilled that in all of us, and, you know, that carries forth into recruiting. And he's a head coach that recognizes everything that's important about recruiting and bringing in top players, that helps us be good coaches. And we're going to devote the time, energy, and effort to that part of this, you know, to help us achieve those goals.
And he certainly has a cornerstone there to work with, and a guy like Mike Hall.
Yeah, I tell you, I appreciate him already. You know, he's a kind of a square jawed, no nonsense. I mean, everything I like about it. I actually tried to get him to crack a grin a little bit. It didn't happen. He's very serious. You know, he's a great student. He's going to be the leader in that room, I feel sure. And, yeah, I'm thankful that he's in place. You know, it's just like I was telling somebody earlier. Everything that I believe in as a coach, the fundamentals, the mentality, the attitude, the trust, the maturity, all those things, you know, these guys embody that. So I'm excited to work with them and help grow those traits.
Brent Pry, linebacking coach, also co-defensive coordinator, and on top of that, assistant head coach. He goes all the way back in the PSAC working with James Franklin. What about now the quarterback, Christian Hackenberg? And not only that, but also Michael O'Connor is a part of the program as well. He is enrolled early. Ricky Ronnie is going to be the passing game coordinator, and he's going to be the quarterback's coach. There's a lot that goes into this. He talked about coordinating the pass game and the importance of the running backs in coordinating the pass game.
Critical. You know, they're critical in pass protection. They're critical in catching passes. I think running backs, one thing they have to do understand more maybe than anybody on the field is spacing. They have to understand how their routes impact everything else and where they need to be and how their spacing needs to interact with everybody else's route in order to, whether it's get them open or maybe it's get somebody else open. I think running backs, you know, a lot of times they're looked at as prima donnas and things like that. They might be the most unselfish guys on the field. We had Zach Stacy at Vanderbilt, and great player. He had a great year this year for the St. Louis Rams. He's an unselfish player. You know, they got to be able to pick up blitzes, you know, and sacrifice their body on that. And then they have to run some of those underneath routes that maybe they get open the tight end or maybe they get open the wide receiver or things like that. So I think running backs are absolutely critical part to the offense. I think the great thing about offensive football, especially in today's game, is all 11 guys have to work together or it's not going to work. You know, so everybody has a role, everybody do their job, and it all fits together.
And then, of course, there's the philosophy of having to work with people along the way. You pick up from mentors, people that really influence, and then you become your own man, but you draw a little bit from everybody. How about some of his mentors?
Well, I think it probably started in high school. My coach, Tom Thanell, we threw the ball a lot, so he influenced me by allowing me to chuck it around a little bit, which was fun. And then after that, Bill Lazor, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. He was my quarterback coach in college. And Pete Mangurian, who's the head coach at Columbia now, but he's coaching the pros. He was my head coach there. Ron Prince was another guy who hired me on at Kansas State and who coached me in college. He really had a big impact on me. Obviously, Coach Franklin and the way I go about, you know, things, that's really helped. And then another guy, Dave Brock, who's the head coach at Delaware. You know, those are guys who've had a big influence on my career and how I coach. And then, you know, other guys, the list could go on and on, but, you know, a guy like Tim Horton who coaches at Auburn just, you know, helped me understand how important it is to be a good person in recruiting and how important it is that you are a great father to your children and things like that. So for me, there's obviously going to be guys that I forgot, but, you know, Coach Donovan is a major influence, Coach Hand. Everybody on this staff, I take a little piece of.
Then there's the other part, too. He's going to be the guy that will have the responsibility, Ricky Ronnie will, of working with and developing Christian Hackenberg and also Michael O'Connor on a daily basis. So at this point, what are some traits he's seen in Christian Hackenberg, and how well does he even know him at this initial stage?
Yeah. Well, mine was talent, so I don't think he has too much of a shortage on that. You know, I think I haven't watched enough tape to be able to give you a great answer on that. Like I've told other people, I think his poise is the number one asset that he has, and it comes through. Obviously, you know, he's got some great size and great arm talent and things like that. But, you know, the thing that I've just been really impressed with is his poise. And is how humble a kid he is and things like that. And I'm just really looking forward to, you know, helping him get better every day and you know, helping him, you know, take his game to neither, you know, higher heights.
Ricky Ronnie, pass game coordinator, quarterbacks coach. Now we go to the other side, corners, Terry Smith. Terry Smith comes home to coach at Penn State. He'll coach the corners. And he talked about the importance of opening up the Western Pennsylvania recruiting route.
Instrumental when Justin came here and with Lado Sargent and Sean Lee and that crew and then, you know, sent some other guys here as well and then just all from the past. It's you know, you just try to piece the generations together. You know, it's we're all Penn State, and whether it's from 1960s or the 50s or, you know, here we are in 2014, you know, we're one family and we're just trying to get that one voice again. Can't be underestimated. It's very important.
And then for him, something else that's very important. He worked at Gateway High School as the head coach, became the wide receiver coach at Temple, did a really good job there. They set records. He comes here, though, working with corners. Well, what about working with corners at Penn State?
Well, it helped me tremendously. You know, my career goal is to become a head coach again and at this level. And you know, coaching on both sides of the ball will balance me as a coach. And, you know, I was a receivers coach last year, but when I was in high school, I had to coach every position on the field. So, you know, and some of my best players that I produced from high school into college were defensive backs. You know, Justin King, Lydell Sargent, and Deion Nunley at Miami, Ohio, Corey Brown at Ohio State. So I've coached a position. A lot of it is, you know, I'm a very fundamental coach. I believe in the fundamentals of the game. I believe in basic necessities of, you know, we don't compromise our work ethic. We don't compromise our effort. We don't compromise hustling to the football, being physical, being tough, being smart. So, you know, those things will never be compromised. And, you know, whether you're the most talented guy or not, you know, you're going to have all those traits and your talent will accelerate your career accordingly.
That is Terry Smith, and the defensive line coach, and you're really going to like him, Sean Spencer.
We'll be exhausted at the end of the practice. I want them to go like every snap is their last snap. And to me, that's a characteristic of a D lineman. You know, you're going to play fast. We play the run through the pass rush. You know, I want them guys getting off the football. I want them creating havoc in the backfield. And, disrupting the game by TFLs, by sacks, by batted down passes, by establishing the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's really important to me. You know, coming from the SEC now, them cats are trying to run the ball down your throat at times. You know, I mean, we didn't play against a lot of spread teams, but we did play against some spread teams. But there was sometime, man, it was man-to-man, and it was on, right? So, you know, just developing those guys to take that on and focus on their technique, you know. And I talk about minimums all the time, all right? Stance, alignment, assignment, get off. But four minimums, right? You don't need a great amount of talent to do that. But if you can perfect that, right? If you can get in a stance, right? Know your assignment, know your alignment, and get off the football, we got a chance, right? The rest of the stuff is going to come with me developing them and getting into their target and escaping and those type of things. But just working on fundamentals and be fundamentally sound.
A lot of defensive line coaches want to recruit the type of guy they want, both at end and tackle. Mm-hmm. When you go out and recruit defensive line, what do you look for?
Well, the ends that typically we've had in the past have really been like those taller guys that can run. Mm-hmm. I love guys that can run. We'll move at times a lot, and we'll drop in coverage. So you really got to have a guy that can be pretty fluid in doing both of those type of things. Really inside, because of what we do, I look for 2-3 techniques. I want two guys that are, you know, they always talk about, you got that one plugger. Mm-hmm. Well, I want two guys that can rush the passer, right? Because you don't have to take guys out. And what we did, what we experimented with, it's not a secret, what we experimented with at Vanderbilt was putting 4 DNs on the field in pass rush times. And we did that. It's not a secret. They'll see it on film. And we'll probably do the same thing.
That's Sean Spencer. He also wants to play 8 or 9 linemen. He wants to keep them out there 4 or 5 plays at a clip. He wants them fresh. So he wants to idealistically play 8 or 9 linemen during the course of the game. And it's not just the game. It's how many plays they put in during the season. He wants fresh, and he wants November fresh. Today's show brought to you by Krautzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Steve Jones with you. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Mike Poorman on News Radio 1070 WKOK.